pastor to be said, you need to remember about the sounds of children. It's a good thing. Good thing. I saw Julie's laugh, Elena's smiling too. Hearing the laughter of children is not only a joy, it's a joy to hear it, to hear that there are little ones in our midst. How important it is for us to make sure that we correctly, truthfully, honestly, unabashedly teach and preach God's word so that the little ones will be nurtured in the admonition of the Lord, praise, and understanding. I was told by a former colleague at Fredericktown High School and former football coach, he said, I happen to believe, the harder you work, the luckier you become. I don't need much in luck. I don't know if I do any work at all. Some things we work hard on, we work hard at accomplishing some things, and they just don't work out quite the way we would like them to, such as life. Sometimes we're surprised. I've talked a little with Sandra about days and dates and things that kind of are reminders. And we met with Stacy as well. How many May birthdays there are, for example. And sometimes we attach a meaning or an event, what happened on that particular day. It's good to remember on the Lord's Day, every Lord's Day, the good gifts and promises that are there. And the part about being fortuitous, or it was a lovely coincidence, standing on the promises that Chris chose. What a wonderful lead-in then to my sermon. Thank you, brother. What a lovely song as a reminder. So, I was amazed as a boy when I would pick up just a word here or a phrase there from old-time preachers. I was not in the church at the time, but it always seemed as if they had something that applied to me, and I thought that was strange. When we become men and women, we are to put away childish things. I no longer have the amazement at chance. I have the amazement of God's word when correctly spoken, when pointed out. It is going to touch willing hearts. It's no surprise. It's not by chance. This convinces me, one of the reasons, that God not only exists, but he knows us better than we know ourselves. I hope a lesson today then touches your heart in reminding us of some of the gifts and promises we have from God through Christ Jesus. I encourage you, and I type things in such a way, I encourage you to write what each key word is by the scriptures. You do not have to, but there is a space provided there if you want to put those. The introduction of key points are these, and it's kind of like two-fold of the same thing. We have many gifts. If we are in Christ Jesus, we have many gifts in Christ or many promises. If we are in Christ Jesus, we have many promises. You cannot have the promise from the King if you are not in the kingdom. So I'm going to give a quick word of invitation. If you are not in Christ Jesus, you are not in the King, you are not in the kingdom, get in it. Do not delay. Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Being filled in your name. Ask. There is a promise of a gift. So you could write gift there if you wish. In Ephesians 4 and 7, but to each one of us, grace was given to the measure of Christ's gift. This is grace is, we often correctly define it as being unmerited favor. I don't know when I learned the word merit badge in back when it used to be called and was the Boy Scouts. It was something you earned. I didn't really fully understand until I got into some history classes where there were, like in Confucianist China, and there was a meritocracy, this idea that in order to serve in government, one had to merit that. One of the amazing things about this gift, we not only don't need to earn, we can't. However, we do need to be obedient in order to put back our sins on that cross. But there is nothing that you cannot do a good turn daily, as the Boy Scouts say. You cannot do that and earn salvation. When we were lost, if you're now a Christian, when we were still lost and dead in our sins, the only thing we can do is to accept Jesus on his terms. And that includes being doers of his will, not hearers only. That means if we love Jesus Christ, he said it. If you love me, you will keep my commands. Take my yoke upon you. His burden is not heavy. Some of us, myself included, through this week, have had heavy burdens. I'm so glad I'm here, not somewhere else. That burden is somehow lighter. But not somewhat, somehow. Through God's power, grace. And you, many of you have been through the same. And then shared some of your personal story. How much better to be now, my Christian family, to help me deal with things that are hard in the world. That in itself is a blessing, is it not? And a gift. Make no mistake, while I cannot earn it, I must obey to receive that. The promise of the Son in Luke 2:29-32. Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. You ever think of the significance of that name? Jacob wrestled the angel. The angel overcomes. It's part of YouTube songs. He is renamed Israel. Someone taught me that El is God, like El Shaddai is God Almighty. Beth El is the house of God. Beth Lechem is the house of bread. So we have Bethel, Ohio. I had a coach named Coach Bethel. Bethel, the house of God, Israel. see that the nation of Israel has striven against God for so long. Not all, but most. Most did not accept Jesus. By accepting, I don't mean praying in your heart. It's not in the Bible. I mean accepting him on his terms. You are my Lord and Master. I will obey. If you tell me to believe and be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins, I believe it. I will receive it. If I do not falter, and I am faithful unto that. See? I do not want to be beast from them, striving or struggling against God. What a light it is to us who are not Jews in flesh. We are Gentiles. We've been grafted in. We were brought into a kingdom to which we used to be formerly, that is before Christ. We were formerly afar off. We were without hope. We've been brought in. First preference, first priority to the house of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of them. He knows our struggles. There is the promise of the Spirit in Romans 8 and 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. This next part gives me great comfort. I hope it does you too. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I word in a prayer. Lee word in simple prayers. What a comfort it is to know that if I make a mistake in a word, or I fumble over my words, or I can't put into words how I feel today or right this moment, what a comfort that the Holy Spirit, if you have part in Christ Jesus, if you're in Christ, the Holy Spirit himself will intercede for you too. There are some people who are musicians, and I saw a documentary that gets back to Stacy. We have a love for documentaries. It happened to be David Gilmour. And he said he actually has a difficulty putting into words how he feels, that he struggles to find words in conversation. He feels he can express himself through that instrument better. I'll refer to our elder brother in Christ, Paul Caseford again. He said, one thing you know, when this is your instrument, meaning your voice, you're never without it. We can all participate. We can all play. Okay. So, what a comforting thought that as we lift up our hearts, thoughts, feelings in prayers to me, for words, that those groanings of the soul are going to be heard. But we have to be in Christ. Because God's ear, we used to say, turn a deaf ear to that, and you don't listen. God turns a deaf ear to those who refuse to accept him on his terms. It's in it. We're talking about promises. There's a promise of God in Hebrews 13 and 5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. What a comfort that God will not leave or forsake us. Now, beware of false teachings. there are those who would say, once in, always in. Once saved, always in. Not what we are teaching and preaching. Why? Because Jesus gives the parable of the faithful servants who invested the money and the one who was overwrought with fear, knowing his Lord and Master to be a stern man, and buried it. Let us each use our talents to the best of our abilities. We have the promise that God will never desert me nor forsake us. I like to use the analogy of a mirror. God is the big book. The Word is like that mirror, and we look at ourselves. We are to walk away remembering what we saw, not being a forgetful learner. That's a scripture. When we look into the scriptures, we see truth. That needs to be a reflection on what we ought to do, or ought to continue to make, or ought to quit doing. Okay? If the mirror is still on the wall, and the image leaves, who left? You did. God won't leave or forsake me. But it is certain that there are examples of people who have forsaken him and left. What a sad state it is to return, never to come back, never to come back. I listened to an old, used to be an old cassette tape that a lot of hours between here and Florida. I popped in these old cassettes that I had from when I was a baby in Christ and later recorded on a CD-ROM and later saved to a DVD. So it's been through a couple of technology. Okay, here's the point. So I was listening and got through 3.5 Gospels on the literature. Jesus speaking to the disciples, how often shall I forgive my brother? 7 times 7? I think if you're like me, the way I was raised, 49 times, literally. 49 times is difficult to forgive somebody. I was pointing finger at me, but I can tell a few of you grinning. That doesn't make it right to feel the way I used to feel. Jesus ups the ante, doesn't he? He ups the measure. He raises the bar and says 70 times 7. Now, don't be too much a literalist in this and say, okay, that's 489 times, maybe. Next time, we're done. Or the next time is your last time. Okay? I don't know if I... God's patience is beyond our comprehension while we were still in these. So, the idea, and Jesus said, if your brother comes to you, and here's the key word. Not if your brother comes to you, and I'm looking at Christmas. He's going to be my object lesson. If your brother comes to you and says he's sorry it wasn't, Jesus says clearly, if your brother comes to you and repents, forgive him. Don't feel sad, sisters. This offer, this promise is for you as well. If you come, if I come to you, if you come to me, you go to another. Repenting is that turning. Turn away from the wrong. Turn toward the right and the light, which is God. He will not desert you. Do not desert you. There's the promise of a rainbow. Sadly, in our culture over the last, I don't know how many years, it's gone through a couple of iterations, a couple of versions. The rainbow went through the Rainbow Warriors, which was Greenpeace and, you know, shot over the bow or on a whaling ship or whatever. We're not talking about that. They hijacked Rainbow. There's another group, and I'll say what it says. This month, the sin that dare not speak its name, abusers of themselves with mankind. Philip Robertson, not my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ is, but he made a point several years ago in the news that I thought was very poignant, very gripping, very hard-hitting, and it was this. When I lived this life, and I won't give the description, when I did this, and I did this, and I did this, I was lost. He was hostile to the gospel. He owned a bar. He was all liquored up and all drugged up. He knew, he knows now, that in that state, he was lost. So he was saying this sexual immorality and this one are both a death sentence unless he likewise repents. The rainbow was a promise never to again destroy the world by flood. The light figure whereunto baptism doth also save you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but the answer of a clear conscience unto God. We need to take back the real meaning of the rainbow. And if you've ever seen one, and I imagine most of you have, maybe you've even seen a double. I saw that one time. What a blessed reminder. God's still there. God's still keeping that promise. The world has never since been engulfed in water. But remember, the light figure of the flood, I made this analogy. What is destroyed under the water? Sinful nature, the sinful world, the sinful man. What comes up out of that? The ark. The ark is a prototype or a foreshadowing of the church. All the saved are in the church. None of the saved are outside of the ark of the church. That same water lifts up God's intended and pushes down the sinful nature of this one. In one fell swoop, that same water. When the vow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. There's a promise of a crown in 2 Timothy 4:8. In the future, there is laid up for me, for you. Use a singular. Use this for me. The crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved him superior. How might we show our love, Lord? When you're praying, the Holy Spirit himself is going to utter groanings. We can show our love in what we do. Be doers, not hearers only. I know I'm repeating. It's not a trick, but it's a teacher's thing. So we add brick by brick, promise by promise. If we run the race, now, any of you who have run a race, a road race, track and field race, anything like that, relay race, I don't think I've ever done that. I've seen it a few times. A sack race, or you have to get to the finish line. To either get the gold sticker when you finish. Sometimes there was a ribbon. Sometimes there was a medal. Occasionally there might be a trophy. These things pale by comparison. Who is given a crown? Princes and princesses in the kingdom are given a crown. That means you, sisters, and you, brothers, and friends, if you are not in Christ, you want to be in a position that you can claim that crown and hear those wonderful words, "Enter in thou good, faithful servant." The reward and the rest that comes. So you want to have the finished race. I am running the course. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. The promise of better promises. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as he is also the mediator of the better covenant, which has been acted on better promises. Hebrews 8 and 6. A sister in Christ sent a message asking, could anyone explain the difference between law and covenant? Well, we can say that a covenant, a last will and testament, you have a first will and testament. That is the old law. That's the Old Testament. Jesus nails it to the cross along with its ordinances. The Gentiles are allowed into the kingdom to be co-heirs with the Jewish people. But that in Christ. Peter preaches as much at the day of Pentecost when he stands and he tells us this is the same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. They were pricked in their hearts, they were sick in their souls. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. His promise is for you. It is for many. It is for all of your heart. The promise is available to everybody, but not everybody's going to finish the race. And not everyone's going to finish that race. Get in Christ. What is a covenant? It's a will. It's a bond. It's a promise. It's a set of promises. A brother in Christ, Mark Taylor, when I was a babe in Christ and was in college, he said it this way, that David, if I recall, when I was 30 plus years ago that I heard this, I suppose 30 years ago, that David and Jonathan entered into a blood cut covenant, as he put it. And there was some swearing of a pledging of their love and dedication to one another. There was a cultural sign that they would touch the thigh of the other. There was blood, and they would be in that. It was a blood-cut covenant. How much like the unblemished Lamb, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, Jesus Christ, that is. We enter into, I guess you could say, a covenant relationship when we are newborn in Christ Jesus. See, we are making a promise or a pledge at the same time to follow. To follow. To share. To care. To love. To love the Lord and love those in the Lord. And actually, to love all. Love your neighbors, yourself. Love the brotherhood. Love one another. Love your enemies, Jesus. That's a hard one. If you're like me, that's a hard one. In 1 John 1, 7, there's a promise of cleansing. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. This is a spiritual fellowship. I'm not being flippant. It's not a temporary. We can sit down and have a meal together somewhere. But the fellowship that the scriptures talk about is a spiritual connection. A spiritual share, a spiritual fellowship with members of like fellow precious faith. That's not saying we need to. One brother put it this way. You're sitting in our fellowship hall. We are communing with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, remembering and showing forth his death. We are being spiritually uplifted by him. You're hearing my words. I'm also hearing those words. See, that's the fellowship that he wants us to have. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We have the spiritual cleansing available. The promise of forgiveness, is that not similar or the same as cleansing? When we are forgiven, we are cleansed of that. Blessed are they who have their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. Matthew 6 and 14. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. A reminder, a model. A model is there for us to look at and image to copy. The promise of heaven. 1 John 2 and 25. This is the promise which he himself made to us. Eternal life. After the book of Acts, from Romans, the Church of Rome, to Revelation, seven churches. All of those are written to Christians. That's significant. You want to know about conversion? Look at the eight examples in Acts. You want to know about the history or the documentary? That means that the biography of Jesus Christ, his history, his lineage, his genealogy. The promises, how he fulfills those, the four gospels. The significance of all the letters to the churches is that every one of them strikes on things that we ought to do or to refrain from doing. I'm not saying that's the only thing we hear, we read here in John's first epistle. We have this promise, eternal life. We've got to be Christians. So, in conclusion, I have a few slides. But when the perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that it's written, death is swallowed up in victory. Of death, where is your victory? Of death, where is your speech? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In him, through him, by way of him, and only by way of Jesus Christ. There's no other name by which we might be saved. I reformatted this from a previous lesson. If it looks a little bit familiar. And Romans 6, 2 to 4, far from it. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead for the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. Could I just say, let's focus on two things here. I want to die in Jesus Christ in baptism so that I can one day, if I am faithful unto death, I can claim the promises that God has given me and that I will be raised from the dead in the glory of the Father whenever that day is for mine. I bid you all think on these things. And if you're already a Christian, be reminded of the first part. How is it that we would still wallow or live in those old sins? Let that not be counted among us. Jesus made it clear in verse 19, Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. What blessings and promises we have. May God bless us in our hearing and understanding of this word. If you're ready to start claiming the promises in Christ, come and put them on. And if you need the prayers of the church, don't put it off. If you have anything, come and talk and stand and sit.